little bit different this morning. I'm going to teach this morning the lesson that I've taught over the last quarter in my Sunday school class. And this is the message the Lord gave me this morning. And I didn't realize how important it was to teach this lesson. I thought, well, maybe it'll just be a repetition of what others have heard. And when I taught it to my class this morning, and I seen that they had missed most of that lesson. And so I'm going to do it again in service this morning. We're going to do something a little different, and it's the Ten Commandments. And so if you'll turn to Exodus 20. And we'll look at verse 2. Exodus 20, verse 2. And it says, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the truth in your word. I just pray that you'd guide me and direct me. Give me wisdom. I pray that you'd open the hearts of our people here at Vision, and that they would understand that they need to learn this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I started my class off this morning for those that were there on time, and it was, gave them a sheet of paper, and I said, write down the Ten Commandments, what we've been studying for the last 3 months. And I said, there's $20 for anybody that can get it right, 1 through 10. And I thought about it, and I want you to think about it. I don't want you to raise your hand. How many of you could do the Ten Commandments in order? And I thought, so be fair to them. Yesterday, after I'd written this message, it took me 4 tries. And I had to keep going back until I memorized them again. So it's not something that we always give a lot of thought of, but something that we should. And so then when my second shift of students walked in at the end of the class, I told them $20, write them in the right order. Well, these are kids that go to our school. Parents attend church. And one of them had 7, one of them had 5, and one of them had 4. None in perfect order. But that's okay. They were listening. And so I don't have to give them $20. I can give the winner $10 for not getting them in the right order, but for getting 7 out of the 10, which is an accomplishment, Lucia. And you did as well as I did. I want you to know that. And so when I first had to do it, and I taught these over the last 3 months. And so I want to start with, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Our God is a jealous God. We began this lesson by teaching this. But we begin by teaching that God is the ultimate authority. There is no other God. He is the only God. And that there was to be no other gods in your life. We looked at Genesis and established that God was a creator and how he designed and blessed the people, his people. And I told him, this is a God that loved you from the very beginning. If he's a God that knows what is coming tomorrow, he knew that we had a people that were going to kill his son, and yet he didn't destroy us at that point. Think if we would look at our God in this country, we wouldn't have the problems that we had. I heard a sermon the other day. They asked a pastor in the South, what is the makeup of your church? And he said, I don't understand the question. I'm trusting that most of them are Christian, but those that aren't, I'm trusting that they'll be saved. And he said, they said, oh, no, you misunderstood the question. What is the racial makeup of your church? And he says, when they walk through the door, I see no color. I see sinners in need of a God, and that's what I see. And people of America would see sinners in need of a God, our country would change, and that's what we need to see. And so our verse in that week that these young people are challenged to memorize was, Who is like unto you, O God, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? There is only one God. And people, I think if we would understand that there is only one God, that it would make a difference to us. And as we reviewed this morning, and I told the young people, when you play with your phone more than you play with your Bible, I know who your God is. Amen. When you'd rather watch your TV program, then I know who your God is. I know who you place first. And then week two, we compared the first four commandments. And the first four commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt have not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So we reviewed the first four commandments in the second week. We have 12 weeks here, so don't think I'm getting ahead. There's plenty of commandments. And they all dealt how to honor God and only God. That's all they talked about, is what we do to honor God and how we honor God. God described Israel as a peculiar people, kingdom of priests, and a holy nation, how they were to be set apart. Talked about how the commandments pertain to us and show us where we fall short. We learned that we are under God, under grace, and we can't keep the commandments. That's why God sent the Savior. He knew that. We learned that the commandments are a guide to help us to be Christ-like and different from the world. And this morning, as we went over with the kids, and I realized they didn't even know what the commandments were. And I challenge you, if you don't know what the commandments are, how can you know how to keep the rules if you don't even know what the rules are? There's nothing that I dislike more when I work is that someone changes the rules and neglects to tell me. Well, God's never changed the rules. Amen. They've been the same. If you read his word, you see that God never changes. His commandments are the same. But how are you going to obey him if you don't even know what they are? And I challenge the young people today, learn your commandments. Learn why they're there. And that is what we learned in week two. And we want to be different from the world. Our verse that week was Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We couldn't keep the commandments, but we should know what they are. We should know what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. We spoke a little bit about taking his name in vain, about the Sabbath day. We talked about graven images and idols during that week. And then in week three, we established that the first commandment was so that we would know who to follow. If God is a perfect authority, if we don't even know who he is, how are we going to follow him? How are we going to know him? And I challenge the young people, you need to get into the word. You need to know who this is that you're going to follow. How do we know who we're following if we don't have no idea who he is? We must come and meet him. And where are we going to meet him but in his word? That's the challenge to these young teenagers, but it should be a challenge to our hearts. Who is your final authority? Who do you report to? Who matters to you at the end of the day? Is it your boss? Is it your car? Is it your bank account? Who do you obey? Who do you put your trust in? Who do you put your faith in? We went into detail what idol worship was and how it kept us from God. That video game that's your idol, that's what's keeping you from God. That car that's keeping you, that house, that bank account, whatever that may be that's keeping you from God, That's your idol. That has become your idol. And God says, you shall have no other God, no other idols before me. Where to store your treasure? Where are you storing your treasure? And at this time, we got to tell them, you know, you're just passing through this earth. We've sung that song, we're just passing through. This is not my final home. This is a temporary home. When you think about the days that you get here, the 70, 80, whatever years God gives you, it's temporary. Amen. Where are you going to spend your eternity at? Where are those that you love going to spend eternity at? Do you not want them in heaven with you? You know, I heard Pastor preach, and in one of his messages, he says, you know, when we come with Christ, when he comes and judgment day is here and those people are thrown to hell, we're going to be with Christ. And I believe, just like he does, that we're going to witness that. And how many of your friends are you going to see go to hell? Can't change it then. It'll be too late. Set your affection. Colossians 3:2, that was our verse that week. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Amen. These things here that were moth and rust, dust come and corrupt and destroys it. They mean nothing. Your house will be here. It'll be gone. And then the week four, the same commandment, how it compares to the first. There's only one God, but he's a jealous God. And he tells us that, and he does it without hesitation. He's the only one. We taught of a loving, merciful, and protective God. We taught on how man-made idols were made and how that caused them to be blinded by their idols. You know, they started with wood. That was the first idol they carved, one out of wood, because they figured God made the tree, and so there must be God in the tree. He's a creator. He created that tree. Do not make it to be an idol. And how we're blinded by our idols. We taught on how to worship and that it must come from the heart. When you worship with anything other than your heart, you're doing it wrong. You know, we like to think we're smart people, that we can figure things out, that we know. We don't know anything without God. John 4:24 said, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And where are you going to get truth from? But from his word. And if you don't open his word, where are you going to know what truth is? And then week five, we went into the third commandment and how his name is often used in vain without thought and why it shouldn't be. How often do you hear his name used as a cuss word? And you think, well, as long as they're doing it, I'm not doing it. And I told our young people, how would you like it? And I'll use Bronson as an example. If all day long I just went around and said, Bronson, 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 and never gave it any thought, he would get tired of people misusing his name. Amen. God gets tired of us misusing his name, and we use it in vain. And without thought, we don't even give it a thought. We don't even think about it. We're taught how to walk and act like a Christian in the third commandment. What's your walk say about you? And I tell this to the teens. What do people see in you? Well, it's not important. I don't care what they see in me. I don't care what people think about me. You don't. God does. You should too. You should care what other people think about you. You know, I think of in times of crises, when people know that you're a Christian, they'll come to you and ask you to pray. They won't go to that person that they think is plain Christian. They'll go to the people who they think are real. But are you real, or you just look like you're real? You need to get that right. That's using his name in vain. I'm a Christian. Are you? Look up what the word Christian means. Like, it's, it means to be Christ-like. Are you Christ-like on Thursday morning? Could I call you and say, pray for me on Thursday morning? And you say, well, you know, it's been since Sunday since I've been in church. And it was Sunday morning. And, you know, I haven't read my word. I haven't read, seen the Bible or anything since Sunday. But if someone was to ask you, are you a Christian? What are you going to tell them? Yes, I'm a Christian. Are you not using his name in vain? Because you're not being Christ-like if you haven't read his word or talked or prayed to him or anything since Sunday. And then that week our verse was Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Do you give thanks? Is it just at the dinner table? In home, in private, where no one else sees it? Are you too ashamed to do it in a restaurant? Are you too ashamed just to do it wherever you're at, whenever you need him? Doesn't matter who's watching. Don't do it because someone is watching. Again, then that would be doing it in vain. Do it because you want to talk to him. Then in week 6, we learned the fourth commandment and why we should keep it and the reason we do it. And that is, what is the fourth commandment? Anybody tell me what the fourth commandment is? To keep, remember the Sabbath day. Why do we do that? The Bible says to tell all generations of our God. That's why we keep the Sabbath holy, so that other people know that we're coming to church, so that we're fellowshipping. So when pastor looks out and he sees a church full of people, his heart is encouraged. Rather than wondering, I wonder where so-and-so is. I wonder why they didn't come to church. I wonder if they think it's important. Or when the doors open 20 minutes after the service starts and people walk through. And he wonders, I wonder why they didn't think the first part of the service was important. You know, I told that to our young people. Time is important. And God gave me this thought. We think, well, it doesn't matter. I made it there. What if Jesus had been one day late to the crucifixion? He still would have died for your sins, right? But there would have been one person that would have been in hell that day. And that would have been the thief on the cross, because he would have been a day early. Think about it. Does it matter? We have a church service, and all of it's important. The singing, the preaching, every part of it's important. The early church had fellowship. They had breaking of bread. We ought to have more of that. We ought to have more potlucks. I think we ought to have more time when we spend time together rather than just occasionally doing it. That we ought to spend more time in worship and praying for each other. Oh yeah, people like that thought of, let's get together and let's have a banquet. But you know, I can remember coming back from camp in October, and a young man wanted to know how to be saved. And I had to delay my prayer time to come into church because I was dealing with him, and I thought, what a great thing that was. Don't want to raise your hand, but where were you that day? Were you at the church? Or did you have something more important? You know what an encouragement it is? When I go in that prayer room and there's 4, 5, 6, or 7 people in there, rather than 1 or 2. Well, brother, if it's just for your encouragement, I'm your brother. I thought you loved me. I thought you wanted to encourage me. That's why the early church did it. They were praying for each other. They encouraged each other. Yeah, we like that potluck business, but do we like the time in prayer? Worship? Sunday night? Wednesday night? I'm praying for you because I heard you have a need. Do people ask you to pray for them and then you forget? Guilty. So I make it a point to write it down or do it right then. If someone says, pray for me, I want to take care of it right then because I want to be able to say, I at least did it once.
That's good. Amen.
Well, we need to do that. The importance of assembling together. It's just not to have a full house. It's not to make it convenient to collect your tithes. It's to fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of such is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. I think if you ask anybody that's a Christian, they're telling you that the time is getting close. The time is approaching. Pretty soon, one day, the Lord's going to come back. And I hate to think that on a Sunday morning, I'm not in church when he comes back. If he chooses Sunday morning. I hope I'm in church Wednesday night if that's when he decides to come back. I hope I'm soul winning on Tuesday night if he decides to come back. Or Saturday morning. I don't want to be at a football game. And I love sports. I don't want to be found there. I don't want to be laying at home taking it easy because I'm tired. I don't want to be found there. The day is approaching. Week 7, the fifth commandment. The first commandment with promise. And how obeying it can keep you from danger and harm. Honor thy father and thy mother. Some of you may say, well, you know, my father and mother, they're old. I don't live in their house anymore. Honor your father and your mother. My parents are dead. I told the kids, I honor my mother because she always wanted me to be in church. Honor my mother by willing to stand up here and preach because she always wanted me to do that. I honor their memory by doing the right things in my life and not the wrong things. A name is important. What have you done with your family name? Young people, it's important, and they know it. And how obeying it will keep you from danger and harm. I tell these young people, your parents don't tell you to avoid certain people because they don't like them. They tell you because they don't want you to get hurt. They don't want harm to come to you. Your pastor doesn't preach from the pulpit because he just wants to preach. He wants to protect you from certain things. You know, young people are amazing. They come up with the craziest things and ideas. Well, why can't I go in a bar and preach? Well, you could. It's not right. You picked the wrong place. Picked the right thing, but you picked the wrong. Or, Brother Mendez, I could have 100 teens in here if you had a rock band on there. Yeah, you could. Wrong method. Right thought. Wrong method. Yeah, someone may get saved. Someone may say, hey, you know, if that's how they are, why do I need their Christ? Would saving 5 people be worth the 1? I don't think so. The Bible says the 99 and 1. Who did he go seek? The 1. Can't use the wrong method. And how the Pharisees dishonored their parents. Have you ever thought about how they dishonored their parents? You know what they were doing? They were spending their money, their parents' money. That's what they were doing, to do what they wanted to do. You need to read that. I didn't get it when I read it till someone taught me that. But they dishonored their parents. And how we can honor our parents and live a full life. You know what it talks about and have a long life? I think he's talking about having a full life. There is a difference between a long life and a full life. But I'd rather live a full life than a long life. An empty life that was done for myself. What good would it be for me to live to be 110 if I didn't see a soul want in my lifetime? Why would I matter to die at 70 years old if I saw lots of souls saved? I'm not afraid of dying. I like what Brother Leo says. I'm ready. Threaten me with heaven? Come on, get real. You can't threaten me with heaven. And yet young people have so much to look forward to. They have all these expectations. College, first car, a girlfriend, a wife. And some of us older people look back, well, we've had that. But have you seen Jesus have victory in your life? That's the important thing. How many victories are in your life? Well, Brother Mendes, I'm getting too old for that. Well, I've told the Lord when I get so old that I can't do it no more, put me in the coffin up here. You guys can walk by and say, he was a good man, or look, he looks so nice, looks like he's at rest. That's when I'm done. Take me home when I'm done. I trust that you'll want to win some souls, have a full life. Then Ephesians 6:1 was our verse that week. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. Young people, this is right. Don't do it because they tell you to do it. Do it because God says it's right. So if you don't obey your parents, you know what God's word says? If it's always the opposite, always true. If you don't obey them, it's wrong. If we don't obey our Heavenly Father, wrong. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that I may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, there's a lot of headstones in the cemetery where young people are buried. It's just not old people that die. What's the commandment say? Live long. Now, I don't know why those young people died. I really don't. I think sometimes the Lord is merciful and he knows they're going to lead such a destructive life. And maybe they got saved and he takes them home early to save them all the heartache that they're going to create. Week 8, the 6th commandment, and why you shouldn't kill. I don't know that anybody in this room has ever killed anybody in the sense that have taken their life. But there's plenty of people in this room that have killed others because they killed their character. They killed them because the Bible says if you don't love them, you're a murderer. And young people, they found that hard to believe that someone hated somebody. And then they had to think about it. And I'm sure their little brains went through on how they hate someone. The Bible says that's murder. People will tell you why the government doesn't have a right. The Bible will tell you why the government does have a right to kill. And how that murder is opposite of love. And hating your brother is the same as murder. And how calling someone a fool is character murder. Because the Bible says very clearly, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's a fool. So you're saying, there's no God. Because you're calling him a fool and you know him. That's murdering his character. And an insult to the God that created him. God doesn't make fools. If God has your heart, you can't be a fool because you believe that there is a God. You can't be a fool. I've heard people say, I'll be a fool for God. No, you won't, because a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So why murder his character by calling him that? 1 John 3:14-15 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I'm here to tell you that if you don't love your brother, you hate him. You're a murderer, I'm sorry. If you don't love your brother, you're a murderer. But, Mr. Mendez, I don't agree with you. Doesn't matter. Look up and say, God, obviously you don't know what you're talking about. And I've taught my young people that when they do certain things that disagree with God, they might as well just look up and say, God, you're wrong. I'm right, God. I know what I'm doing. Insult God. Please, and I always end it with this. Make sure when you do that I'm not near you, because I don't want to get struck by that lightning bolt that's coming down. I don't. Do it on your own. Week 9, the 7th commandment, how it applies to adultery. And you think, well, my teen thought, I'm safe. I'm not married. That's what adultery is. And I told him, well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches is when you lust after another teen, you've committed adultery. You may say, I've never had an affair in my life, but if you lusted, you've committed adultery. We taught how to prepare and protect your heart and your mind by doing their devotions, praying, and keeping unconfessed sin on a short list. A short list. It means as soon as you realize that you've sinned, you go to God and you tell him, God, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Preparing your heart, getting it ready. We all know the adage that says, having no plan is a plan to fail. We all know that. And so I've reminded the teens this morning, as I reminded them often, in my office there's a sign. And I had a young man that's been in my office 100 times. I've never seen that sign. Told me he must be blind, because I've pointed it out to him 12 times. The sign says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart. And then I asked some young people, how did you prepare your heart this morning? They looked at me like, I got dressed. No. How did you prepare your heart this morning? Did you meet with your God and tell him, come to church, what do you want me to do, Lord? How do you want me to act? What are you going to teach me? And then I told him how I prepared my heart and what I read and what I studied on this morning. Adult, if you're sitting in here this morning saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. Did you do your devotions before you came to church this morning? That's what I'm talking about. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart. So what God is telling you, when you go out in this world, if you don't prepare your heart, you're going to do evil. God, I disagree with you. I'm a good person. I'm going to go out and do good things today. Just haven't gotten around to talking to you yet. You take that up with God. Because God says, you don't prepare your heart, you're going to do evil. That's what God says. You tell him that he doesn't know what he's talking about. The verse that week was Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's how you prepare yourself. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The 8th commandment, week 10. What can and is stolen from God? It says, thou shalt not steal. Well, if you didn't prepare that heart, your heart that morning, you stole from God. You stole his time. Oh, I didn't know it was his. Yeah, all 24 hours is his. He just lets you use it. How about time at work? How about tithes? Yes, teens should tithe. And I explained to this morning, they got a gift for $50. They should put $5 in the offering. And they look at me like I'm crazy. That's a gift. Well, when I work and they pay me my salary, that's a gift from God. He gave me the ability to work. He gave me the hands to use and the feet to get there. It's a gift of God. Doesn't make a difference. There's a lot of things you steal from God or from others. The root of all evil is money. And why you should work and walk honestly. It's not the root of evil is not money. It's the love of money. It's the desire to have it. It brings joy to God when you walk honestly. When people can depend on you. You know, and we men do this at this church, whether you know it or not. We will not go put that offering away unless there's someone with us. We will not count that offering by ourselves unless there's someone with us. It's not because I don't trust Mark or Mike or Greg. It's not because I don't trust them. It's I don't want anybody to ever accuse them of it. They're honest people. I think they'd rather cut off their arm than steal from God that way. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Week 11, the ninth commandment, I've got to hurry here. Don't speak untruthfully about another. How often have we heard something and just added to it? If you want to know what that commandment is, let me read it to you from my list rather than from memory. I'll do better with it. What is it? Who can tell me? What team? Do not bear false witness. Not bear false witness. That's how it is correctly. So don't speak untruthfully about another Christian. We're the same family. Our mouths speak what's in our heart. That's what they learned that week. They don't come up with that. It comes from their heart. We learned this morning how you can't take it back. You can say it, and once you've said it, you can ask for forgiveness. Chances are that person may forgive you, but he's not going to forget it. And one of the young people says, "And you don't forget that, Mr. Benison? I'm human." No, I don't forget. I'll forgive him, but I don't forget it. Got a good memory. Maybe one of these days as I get older, and I do notice when I get older, there's things I forget. We learned of the tongue and how it can hurt our testimony and ruin other lives, and how our tongue is wicked. We bless and we curse with the same instrument. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Think about it. The next time you're tempted to say, you know, Brother Mendez, our teacher this morning didn't do such a good job. How about saying, you know, I'm going to pray for Brother Mendez Saturday night, because I know he's probably studied his lesson, that he'll be able to teach it to us good tomorrow. And I told him, I asked him, and you should have heard the silence. You could hear a penny drop in the room. And I said, how many of you prayed for me once this week that I would be prepared this morning? So I ask you the same question. How many of you prepared for Pastor to be ready this morning? Or at any time? Oh, but I have needs. So does he. Minister grace unto the hearers. In week 12, which was last week, and not everybody remembered this, but we talked about coveting. A desire to possess what belongs to another. You know, I've gotten to that age where, and we were joking about it this last week. Mr. Hall has a real nice car, and some of the teens have ridden in it, and they talk about how fast it goes. Well, I hope he doesn't break the law. We won't get into that. But they asked me, do you like his car? It's a nice car. Well, wouldn't you want it? No, that's Mr. Hall's car. That's what the Lord gave him. I'm quite comfortable in my old man's car. In my Honda, you know, it doesn't need to get up and go. Yeah, it does have a V6 in it, and it will get up and go, but it probably won't get up as half as fast as his car will. I don't covet his stuff. He shouldn't covet mine. If my God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, what could my neighbor have that is better than what my father can give me? I've often told people when they said, hey, brother, we're going to play the lottery this week. You got to pitch in because I hate for you to be the only one left here. And a Christian person told me that one day. And I said, I thought your father owned the cattle on a thousand hills. Well, he does. Do you need more? Do you need him to own the cattle on 2,000 hills? How much more do you need? And they looked at me and said, yeah, but he has it. Yeah, but he gives it to me. He shares it with me. I breathe. I walk. I talk. He blesses me. Yeah, that's a blessing. The ability to walk and talk. You talk to someone that can't see or can't talk, and you ask them if that's a blessing or not. They'll tell you, that's a grand blessing. You know what we told them? Can't take it with you. I've never seen a U-Haul headed up in this heaven. Never seen one. And they laugh. You know, you're right. There is no U-Hauls going to heaven. Guess who gets to keep it? These people that are on earth. This is where your stuff stays. It doesn't go anywhere with you. It doesn't matter what you have. We learn that we need to be content. 1 Timothy 1, 6 through 8 says, but good godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. Amen. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. And since I'm of Hispanic heritage, if I just get beans, I'm fine. Amen. Brother Leo, he's almost Hispanic. If he has menudo, he's fine. But you know, some people, if you don't get steak, I had a terrible meal. But yesterday, I'm going to ruin you guys now. Yesterday I had some carne asada that I grilled and some chicken. And that we grilled fajita style and some great salad and some chilaquiles and fresh tortillas. And I got seconds of beans because I had fresh beans. I didn't get seconds of meat. I didn't get seconds of salad. I didn't get seconds of chilaquiles. I got seconds of beans. That's what I love. I get great beans. I'm content. I don't need the steak. And as we reviewed the Ten Commandments in class this morning, some of the students didn't know any of them. Couldn't come up with one. Oh, once we started mentioning thou shalt not steal or kill, yeah, they remember, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. What are you going to do with what you learned this morning? Are you going to go home and say, well, I know what the 12 commandments are. You know that young ruler when he met Jesus and Jesus told him, and he says, from my youth I've followed the 10 commandments. Jesus says, sell your goods and follow me. And he couldn't do it. Will you sell your goods and follow him this morning? You have the Ten Commandments. And I venture to say you can't say like he did, I've obeyed these since my youth. Because I'm guilty. I haven't. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll probably say, I haven't either. But what will you do with them? Will you let go of what you consider important and follow your Lord? Or will you continue on not preparing your heart and doing evil? Because that's exactly what you do. Because that's what God says you're going to do when you don't prepare your heart.